Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. Happy Monday. We're recording this on a Monday, and if you're listening on a Monday, happy Monday, or whatever other day of the week you're listening to us. So today we have an author who wrote a book, and this subject is near and dear to my heart, rescue, TNR. It's so important. We cannot, you know, educate ourselves enough or our children. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Talk to the Paw.
Hi, this is Amy Shearer.
Hi, I'm Jane Lynch.
This is Mandy Moore.
Hi there, I'm Kate Walsh.
This is Catherine Tygo.
There's only one station that gives you the scoop on wagging tongues and tails. And who's walking who in Rent and Tinseltown? Pet Life Radio, the tail wagger.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Vanessa Benitez. She is the author of The Adventures of Puppy Cat and the Lost Name. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Very happy to have you. So, what inspired you to write The Adventures of Puppy Cat and the Lost Name?
So, The Adventures of Puppy Cat and the Lost Name was inspired by my real-life rescue cat, Snarf, who I'm super excited to tell you more about. But even before I met Snarf, I've always loved animals. And I think I've kind of always been a bit of a storyteller on the Mexican side, like the older relatives. They kind of passed that down to me. You tell your story, you use your imagination, you kind of pass it down. So since Snarf is my rescue cat that I actually just found in the garbage one day, I have no idea where she came from. So I kind of started just creating a story in my mind, like what she could have gone through, you know, where she came from. And that's kind of where the story came from.
Okay, thanks. So, wow, you said you found Snarf in a garbage can.
Yes, I found her in the garbage one day.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it just blow your mind that people just take living creatures and just throw them in the garbage? I can't even fathom that, but it happens.
Right. I can't even imagine how she exactly ended up there. And that's kind of part of the book. Like, how does this beautiful cat end up in a garbage can?
It's really shocking to me. I mean, happens very often with kitties, which is horrific. And puppies, too. And grown dogs and cats.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell us the story of how you actually found Snarf and how that moment stayed with you.
So, you know, just to preface the story, I just wanted to share that I've always loved animals, but I'm actually allergic to cats, like pretty allergic to them. So, you know, despite this fact, I think it was passed down from my family, like I would like to feed stray cats, but I wouldn't kind of get too close to them because I was a little concerned for my health. So one day in March, I'm in my neighborhood and I hear some rustling and noise coming from the garbage can. So I look a little closer and out tumbles this super puffy, fluffy, long-haired cat from the garbage. So already I'm shocked. I'm like, I've never seen a cat like this. I don't know about other people, but usually when you see a stray cat, it's usually not long-haired. That was like the first time I ever saw a cat that looked like her. So she was just like beautiful and unique. And, you know, I just saw her and I was just like, okay, she's meowing. She's matted. You know, I know she needs help. But it was difficult because I was a little confused because I wanted to take her in right away, but I have allergies and I have asthma. So I didn't want to also have an asthma attack. So what I did was right away, I ordered a cat condo, like an outdoor cat condo, just to figure out what I would do with her in the meantime. But I knew she needed help and I got her into the vet. So when I got her into the vet, they checked for a microchip and she had no microchip. She did kind of look like she had something. It looks like she had a collar on her neck that may have been removed because the hair around there was like kind of pressed in her neck. So who knows what happened to it. So in any case, from there, I contacted family and friends and local animal shelters, and nobody could take her in. They didn't have room. And then in the process, what I learned, because I didn't know until I met Snarf, is that a lot of these shelters, they don't take in the grown cats. They take in kittens. And I got a lot of no's, and, we need kittens, and how old is she? Perhaps because, it's not as much of a demand. I'm not too sure, but, they wouldn't take her in. So I just decided, I said, you know what? All these doors are closing. Maybe it's for a reason. So I made the decision. I said, you know what? I got to get allergy shots. And it's a huge commitment. It's shots once a week for 1 to 2 years. And then after that, once a month for 3 to 5 years. But now she's mine, and she doesn't make me sneeze. And I'm just so happy with her. I don't regret one shot that I had to take for her.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And allergies in cats vary a lot. I'm allergic to cats, and I have asthma too, but it's not the same. So I don't get itchy. I don't sneeze. I just get wheezy.
Right.
So I have 3 cats in the house, and I had 2 dogs at one time. So that was it's a lot of hair and dander and stuff, much as you clean, you just don't get rid of it. But all allergy, the effects of allergies are all different. And yours was way more extreme than mine was. At one time, my spouse wanted me to get another cat inside. So 4 cats inside. And I said, yeah, well, if you want me to breed, that's not going to happen. So we didn't do the 4th inside, but we adopted because the litter one of my cats came from was 3. So we had to found homes, legit good homes for 2. But I commend you because that is definitely taking on a lot of responsibility to save your cat. So thank you for that. And there is truth, especially we always say April through October starts kitten season, but like a lot of things, it's starting earlier this year, or it's been starting earlier. So now it's really like March through October. And I think a lot of shelters, they have concerns because they either are full or know they're going to get full from kittens, from all the feral cats not being spayed. And it is harder to adopt a grown cat. And a cat might have just been a year old, or maybe technically still a kitten. But once it's past the little cutesy stage, a lot of people are like, they don't want to adopt it. Or they don't want an adult because they assume an adult cat might have issues, which is not the case.
Right. I think it was more so like of a demand thing, like maybe they thought if they would take it in, it would be harder to adopt. So I kind of understood where they're coming from, but she still needed help. So,
yes. Yeah, absolutely. So the title says The Adventures of Puffy Cat and the Lost Name. So what does the lost name mean?
So I wanted to be pretty intentional about that because I kind of feel like whether you're a human or a creature, anything really, you start and end everything with your name. It's part of your identity, your story. It's kind of who you are, right? So when I wrote this story, I just started thinking about just like a cat who had an owner. Their identity was they were somebody's pet. And all of a sudden, that's taken away. So one of the lines in the book is, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm from. I was dumped to the streets and my owners are gone. So I was intentional about it because I wanted to show the effect of what happens when a cat loses their home, is dumped on the streets, and now they're just trying to figure out who they are.
So what is one of the things in writing the book that you really hope children and then parents, because many parents, read to their children, take away from the story?
So I really hope that when they read the book, children will learn to have more and more compassion and empathy for animals. And I hope it gives them a glimpse of how rough it is on the streets as a stray cat. But at the same time, seeing Puffy Cat, I hope they realize that they're these amazing and curious and beautiful creatures. And very important, I want them to learn that it's not just kittens who need love. It's grown cats. It could be a senior cat, a special needs cat. And after that, I want them to learn about friendship, because in the book, she encounters a dog that is not her species, looks nothing like her. And the dog is just trying to be friendly, but she's wary. She's suspicious, right? Because you're taught sometimes, oh, this person looks like this. You're not supposed to be their friend. So I hope this kind of teaches them to just give people a chance and to look past their looks and like look at who they are inside.
You just mentioned one of the wonderful parallels in this story. Do you think with more and more books being written about pet adoption, about understanding what it's like to adopt, to understand spay and neuter, that maybe, I don't know, might not be the next generation, might be a couple generations, that this will really have an impact on less cats being euthanized?
That's what I hoped, and that's why I decided to make it a children's book, because they're very young and they can learn like from the very beginning to have this compassion, to not look past the stray cat, you know, to help feed them, to maybe ask their parents, hey, is it okay if we put out some food for them? And then later, yeah, you're right. Then they can teach them more about spaying and neutering and controlling the population. Because unfortunately, like, there's so many kittens and there's not enough homes.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Vanessa Benitez, and we're talking about her book, which is The Adventures of Puffy Cat and the Lost Name, based on her real-life cat, her rescue cat, Snarf. So rescuing Snarf was the real-life experience that influenced this story. Do you have any other rescue stories that played into, or rescue stories you read about that might have played into your story?
So it's kind of interesting because, you know, like I said, I had the allergies. So I always fed animals, but I kind of did it from afar. So before Snarf, I didn't have maybe those up close and personal experiences. But after I met Snarf and I started getting the shots, number one, I started getting better, right? So I could, you know, be a little closer to them. And I started having these, like you're saying, like closer experiences with strays, because I was able to get closer to them. And I learned how to do TNR. So in the process, I would name every cat that I trapped, right? Humanely trapped. I made sure I gave them a name. And then, you know, I'd make sure they got the medical care and I would bring them back. In the process, I kind of saw like all of the stuff they were going through, like these cats, some of them would be limping. They would have, you know, patches of fur missing. They would be always hungry. So those experiences, when I wrote the book, although Puffy Cat isn't sick in the book, she's very hungry. So I kind of wanted to show that, you know, these cats have these strong needs and I don't want them to be forgotten. So that was kind of like my whole thing when I wrote this book. Like, I want you to remember those cats that you pass by, you might ignore. I don't want you to ignore them anymore. I want you to see what they're going through.
I like that. You also have partnered with Four Animals, Inc. Can you tell us about the work they do for stray cats?
Yes, I'm so excited to partner with them. So Four Animals, Inc. is a nonprofit organization. And what's great about them is they're a small organization. And so, you know, the big ones, you know, kudos to them. I'm so happy that they're getting the funding and the recognition that they deserve. But this is just a small one in Queens, New York, and they service New York City. You can contact them. And if you have these feral cat communities, they can go in there and they can humanely trap all of them. They'll get them vaccinated. They'll, of course, get them spay neutered. They'll make sure they're okay health-wise. And then they'll return them, you know, because it's important to return them to the same area so other cats don't go. It's like a vacuum effect. But then in addition to that, if they catch a cat or a kitten, doesn't matter which one, if the cat is like somewhat friendly and you can touch them, they will put them with the foster parent and they will do their very best to get them adopted. So I partner with them. So what I'm doing is every time you buy the Adventures Cat, a puffy cat on the lost name, I'm going to donate a portion to them so they can help more cats.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you mentioned TNR, for those, which is Trap, Neuter, Return. So why, for those that don't know, why is that so important?
So Trap, Neuter, and Return is really important because it helps control the cat population. I was reading a statistic that they were saying if a cat remains unspayed in a lifetime, they can have between 100 and 150 kittens. So I can't even imagine what that would do to the poor cat's body and then all these little kitties on the street and not enough homes. So it helps control the population. In addition to that, both male and female cats, it helps them reduce different types of cancer. So for the female cats, it can reduce breast cancer, ovarian cancer. And for male cats, it helps reduce testicular cancer. So not only does it control the population, but it keeps the cats that are already around, it keeps them healthier.
Yes, it does. Have you trapped any cats yourself?
Oh, yeah, I trapped plenty of cats. Once I got the allergy shots, I became cat crazy. So I've got dozens of them. Yeah.
Did you ever run into any challenges?
It was more so like getting the hang of it. Like, you know, I would see stuff online. I also knew people who were doing it. And I was trying to kind of skip steps. Like I wouldn't put the newspaper in the cage. Or I wouldn't put it in an area that, you know, other cats can kind of get to the food because they fight for the food, you know. It's a little difficult. Sometimes you have to fend off one cat throwing fried chicken at them and then try to lure the other cat in. But it's more so just getting the hang of it. But I will say I got pretty good at it. I've saved a lot of cats, thank God. And I've gotten a lot of kitties homes.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think there's a special talent because who was it that I had a trap? Molly's mom, Sammy, could not trap her. Sammy and Jethro have passed on since, you know, they've been gone about a couple years now, unfortunately. But Sammy was this skinny little cat that I thought was a kitten, and I had to hire a cat trapper. I tried. I caught the baby daddy twice. I caught a raccoon once. No, Sammy, she was so tiny, she was able to like put her paw in, and clever, put her paw into the contraption and move the food. So I actually found a cat, local cat trapper, you know, living, you know, in the South. It's, yes, we have kitten season, but it's warm all the time. So there's always stray cats. And I knew the numbers. I knew if I didn't catch her, she would have another litter of babies. She had a second litter while I was trying to catch her.
Oh, wow.
So that's how fast, because I don't know offhand the gestation period. I want to say it's about 3 months or something.
Yeah, I think it's around 3 to 4 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very short and it took that long, you know. Okay, she just had the babies. Okay. All right. So let me, and it wasn't even kitten season. Let me try to capture her. No. So I interviewed, and she used like a Roadrunner type. So if you guys, date myself, it's an old cartoon, look up Roadrunner, and that's kind of a drop trap. But boy, I even asked her success rate. She said, you have to follow my directions with a certain food, do this, do that. And, you know, it worked. She went on to live 4 good, healthy years that I don't think she would have had otherwise. And then there would have been more kittens, you know, gone. Because even in the wild, while they might not be euthanized, there's, you know, stray animals. I live in the suburbs, but there's coyotes around in the suburbs and raccoons, and they get in fights and cars and all this kind of stuff. So I'm really happy you are do TNR. Thank you so much for that. What was the process like going from the idea of writing about Snarf to actually publishing the book?
So this thing all started me taking the subway. So when I was taking the train to work, the story was kind of coming to my head. So what I did first before I wrote the book, because I kind of had like ideas, but I wanted to like figure out the characters first. So first, I already knew Puffy Cat was the star, right? But I wanted to figure out who would Puffy Cat's friend be. So it was really just researching like really adorable dogs. And I was looking up all different types of breeds. And I absolutely fell in love with poodle dogs because I think they're hilarious looking. They remind me of mops, and they have the hair that drops to the floor. So I figured out, okay, that seems like a very likable character. So that's where I started. And then every book needs kind of like that bad guy. So I had to figure out what type of character would be the person that Puffy Cat might have some problems with, right? Or the creature, I should say. And so when I was looking it up, I didn't want to like pick a big dog because I felt like that would be like just like a stereotype, and then people are afraid of pitbulls. So I didn't want to go there. And then I just thought about the Chihuahua, this like spicy little dog. And I figured, okay, let's make the Chihuahua Chico. Let's make him the bad guy in the book. So then after that, that's kind of when the story unfolded. And I only wrote a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the morning on my commute, a little bit home on my commute. So I work in a school. So it pretty much took about an entire school year. And then that's kind of when the story unfolded. Once I had Chico, I had a twisty dog, and then I had Puffy Cat. And I already knew I wanted it to start her tumbling from the garbage. And then from there, you know, I wrote the story within a year.
And it's very well illustrated.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? I've never met the illustrator.
But you did well in describing what you needed because the illustrations are great and you have the story well. So there's maybe a little bit of people out there, not too many, that might think, well, talking about TNR to kids, that might be a bit much. What would you say to those people? I know it sounds crazy, but I do think there's some that might say, oh, you know, it should be all snowflakes and, or no, that's not the expression, snowflakes and rainbows. Or
sunshine and lollipops.
Sunshine and lollipops, you know, when you're talking to kids. And even little kids, though, you know, I disagree with that. That sunshine lollipops, because kids, unfortunately, even little kids have to experience things that are not always, you know, happy. Even small things, like if they drop something and break it that they like, that's a small thing, but they still have to experience that too. So talking about TNR and kind of explaining it in a way that kids relate, what would you say to those that say, no, we shouldn't tell our kids that?
Well, first I'd say read the book and you can see how it's kind of written. But also I think that you can touch on things in a way that you don't have to use like language that's going to scare them. So the book itself is written in verse, and I made it a point to do that because I wanted to introduce a little bit of a heavier subject in a lighter way, like a light, more fluffy way. And if you look at the illustrations, you know, you see like a very happy dog, you see a really cute cat. So it's kind of, it's a way that you can teach them something that is very important and can be very beneficial to the lives of different cats, and help them also when they grow, like, you know, keep that compassion from like a young child. But it's a way to do it in a fun way. So I just stayed committed to that because I knew that I was going to teach kids something, and it was going to teach them in a fun way. There's always a way to teach kids like heavy lessons in a way that is going to be easy for them to understand and not going to scare them.
Okay, thanks. What should our listeners do, especially if they're kids with them and they see a stray cat in their neighborhood?
So it really depends on what you're able to do, right? Because, you know, like we talked about, some people might have allergies, you know, and some people, maybe they're in different financial situations. We don't know, right? But at the very least, I would say if you're able to give some food and water, that might be a good start. You can always take a pet to the vet, and that's a free service, and you can see if they have a microchip, because they also might be a lost cat, right? So if they're lost, you want to try to reunite them with their owner. And hopefully, if they're listening to this, before anything like that happens, they can research a different organization like in their neighborhood that can help them. So maybe they can't do TNR, but maybe there's an organization out there that can do TNR. Or help a cat get adopted or fostered. and to just reach out to your network of family and friends. You know, there's a lot of people who might even want to take the cat in. Maybe you can't take the cat in, but maybe they can. So it's important just to keep a strong community and, you know, research different animal organizations and just feed them. They're so cute. Hopefully you can do that.
Yes, of course. So how is Snarf doing today?
So Snarf just turned 8 years old. She's doing amazing. I had a little cat celebration for her. I'm not going to say a party because a party means I invited guests and I didn't go that far, but I decorated her cat tree and I gave her dry treats. I gave her tuna treats. I gave her little catnip toys. So, you know, she has a great life. Her favorite toys are really just a cardboard box and a grocery bag. So, yep. You know, she stayed humble. That's what she likes. And, you know, she makes my day happy almost every day just being around. And I hope I make her days happy by, you know, just being her a cat mama.
I'm sure you do. I had a laugh at that cardboard box and plastic bag. You know, you could spend so much on things. I mean, you need a cat tree, so that's not a toy, though. But then you get a box or a plastic bag. Best thing ever for a cat, right?
That's their favorite thing. Yeah, you could buy them the toy, but they want the box.
They want the box that it came in. And they make themselves fit no matter what the size, which is crazy. Okay, where can people find out more about the adventures of Puffy Cat and the Lost Name, and also where to buy your book?
Okay, so it's being sold right now online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Walmart on their website. And I have a website called puffycatbooks.com where you can, you know, find all the links there easy if you need to. If you're local, there's a cat cafe called Espresso where they actually sell the book hard copy. If you want to like fun stuff and you want to see the real Puffy Cat, I have a TikTok and an Instagram, or should I say Snarf does. And the handle is Snarf_AKA Puffy Cat. And also for animals, like if you want to learn more about them, foranimals.com. And they also have the same name for TikTok and Instagram.
I want to thank you, Vanessa, so much for coming on Catitude. And congratulations on your book, The Adventures of Puffy Cat and the Lost Name.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to thank my guest, Vanessa Benitez, for coming on Catitude and telling us all about her book, The Adventures of Puffy Cat and the Lost Name. I want to thank all my loyal listeners of Catitude. I've been hosting this show coming up on 9.5 years. So thank you so much. Thanks, of course, to my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, all rescues. Thank you to all the fur babes in my life that were rescues, Miss C, Mr. Z, Sammy, and Jethro. And of course, the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer. Thank you so much, Mark Winter, for all you do. And hey, remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.